Okay, we are doing an introduction to Pirkei Avot, and being that it is 1:05 a.m., we are going to go quick on this intro and just get a general picture. And I think in general, what we'll try to do this time around is just get a general picture of the Mishnayot. Mi'etz Hashem, we shall be blessed with many years to go through Pirkei Avot many times, and this time we will just understand what's going on. So we know that we have Shas Mishnayot, we have the Mishnayot. The Mishnah is divided into six Sedarim, we have six sections of Mishnah, and one of them is Nezikin, deals with the laws of damages, and that one is and we go through all the different laws of damages in our Seder, and at the very end we have Pirkei Avot. After discussing what are legal obligations to one another and what happens if one damages one another, we end this Seder with a tractate that deals with the tradition that we have on how to be a good person. Masechet Avot is the tractate which focuses on traits. It doesn't deal with halachot, with the laws. It deals with our traits. How do we? What are good traits, and how does a person acquire good traits? Many religions, philosophies develop their code of ethics. And when we begin the book with the tractate Masechet Avot, we might think, okay, so this is what the wise men of the Jews had to say over the years. And that's why this tractate begins with a recounting of our tradition to remind us that these are the good traits that Moshe, when he got the Torah at Sinai from God, and God told him, this is how I want the Jewish people to live, God also taught him what are the good traits. And Moshe passed that on to us, and one shouldn't read this and think, oh, Confucius said wise things, and Benjamin Franklin said wise things, so the sages also said wise things. No. One has to recognize that just as all of the words of the Torah are God-given, God taught us what we may do and may not do, what we may eat and may not eat. In every facet of life, God directed us how we should live. So too, when it comes to our traits, what kind of people we're going to be, not just what actions we perform, but rather what kind of people we are going to be. And that too, the Torah has guidelines for us, and we have a tradition. This is something that goes back to God. This isn't just wise words that our sages said. It is very wise words, and that is why many, many people have admired this tractate, and it is quoted throughout the different texts. But it is wise because it is the word of God. It is not wise conclusions of our sages. Now, it is true that different sages stress different points. But at the end of the day, everything that's said here goes back to tradition, and goes back to Moshe, and goes back to Sinai. Masechet Avot, we begin with the first Mishnah. Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai. Moshe received the Torah from Sinai, from God who revealed himself at Sinai. Sarah, and Moshe gave over the Torah to Yeshua. He gave it over to all of the Jewish people and all of the elders, but his primary student was Yeshua, Joshua. Yeshua and Yeshua gave it over to Zkenim, to the elders who led the Jewish people after Yeshua's death. Uzkenim and the Zekenim, the elders, passed it on in Vim to the prophets who led the Jewish people, and the prophets passed it on. Unvim is Sarol and Sheikh Nestagdullah. The prophets passed it down from prophet to prophet, they passed down the tradition, till we hit the men of the great assembly, the men who led the Jewish people at the beginning of the period of the Second Temple. Why were they called the men of the great assembly? What was so exceptional about them? So we know they instituted great institutions that changed Jewish life radically. They're the ones that instituted a specific form of prayer. They instituted the Shemona Esrei the way we know it. They're the ones that instituted specific forms of blessings. They were Toveh the Matveh of Brachot. They changed Jewish life drastically. They made many, many gzerot and takanot. They made many institutions. Jewish life the way we know it is very, very much affected and fashioned by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the men of the Great Assembly. And nonetheless, our sages say that they were called the men of the Great Assembly not because of all their great institutions, but rather because of one thing that they did. And that is, this is a Gemara, Gemara in Yuma, if I'm not mistaken. And the Gemara says they were called the men of the Great Assembly. They were called great because they returned God's praise to the way it had been initially. Initially, Moshe Rabbeinu praised God. He said, God is gadol, great, gibor, mighty, nora, awesome. And when Jeremiah and Daniel came along, each one saw a different stage of the destruction. They took away one word of praise. First, we took away the word gibol, mighty, and then we took away the word awesome. Said, they have destruction, the Jewish people are exiled. How could you say mighty and awesome? And when the men of the great assembly came along, they said, no. When we praise God, we could still use the term that God is mighty and awesome, because this is God's might, this is what's awesome, that all the nations gathered to destroy the Jewish people and said there shouldn't remain a morsel of a Jew. We're going to destroy them, there won't be anything. We have to decimate the Jewish people. You had nations who volunteered, they sent their mercenaries for free to help in the destruction of the Jewish people when it came time for the destruction of the first temple. And yet, when it was all over, the Jewish people survived. They said, that's God's hand. The fact that even though the temple was destroyed, the people are around, that in that we see God's might, and in that we see how awesome God is. And therefore they returned, so to speak, the crown to the way it had been initially. And that's why they're called the men of the great assembly. So the Torah, the tradition of the Torah, was passed down till these men of the great assembly, who lived during the period of the beginning of the first of the second temple. Hem amu shlosha dvarim, the anshei kneset agdola, the men of the great assembly, said three things. They said many things, but they said the following three things. Hevu metunim badin, be patient, slow. Matun is a patient person. Hevu metunim badin, be patient in coming to a conclusion. Don't be hasty to call the shot, to decide what the law is, what the proper ruling is. Hevu metunim, be patient, be slow in coming to a conclusion, they're telling the judges. Ve'amidu talmidim arbe, and establish many disciples. A person shouldn't say, I have enough disciples. A person should establish many disciples. Our sages say that Rabbi Akiva had thousands of disciples, and they all passed away. And after spending his life teaching, he ended up with five disciples. He started teaching again, he had five disciples. And those five disciples, they established all of the oral law that we know. There are the names that we encounter most throughout the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir. We have five disciples of Rabbi Akiva. We will encounter them as we continue. So they said, establish many students. A person should have many, many students. You guys are learning, you have to keep learning. You also could start having students. You could help one another. You could teach one another the things you know. If you know Aleph Beis, so help the next guy with Aleph Beis. Throughout your life, you could teach other people. You come home for Shabbos, say a Dvar Torah at the table. You're walking with your friends, you could share with them what you've learned. A person should always try to teach. A person should never forgo teaching. You should always be learning as well. And a person should know what he knows and what he doesn't know. But a person should be patient, not come to a conclusion quickly. Establish many students. Vasu siag la Torah. And make a siag. Siag is a fence for the Torah. Meaning a person shouldn't go till the line. A person could say, I'm not supposed to cook meat with milk. Well, I'll cook meat over here and milk over there, and I'll carry my pot filled with boiling broth with milk over my pan of milk, and nothing will drip. What do you mean? As you carry it over, you know that very often drops drip and you spill. So don't go till the line. Distance yourself. Don't say, well, it doesn't say you can't carry a pot of boiling meat over milk. Yeah, but you should distance yourself a little bit from doing prohibitions. So a person is supposed to distance himself. We learned today, earlier today, we learned in the Rambam, a person shouldn't invent new stringencies. A person shouldn't try to prohibit things that the Torah permits. But at the same time, a person shouldn't go till the line. A person has to distance himself a little bit. And on this point, our sages expand. They say we learned from Adam Arishon. One of his mistakes was that he didn't discern between what was the prohibition and what was his expansion. When he told Chava, when he told Eve, he said, God said, don't touch the fruit and don't eat the fruit. So when she touched the fruit and saw nothing happened, so she said, oh, then I could eat it as well. So a person has to discern between what is the prohibition and what is his extension. And a person has to know himself, meaning where a person extends depends on the person. One person knows that he has a tendency to turn on a light on Shabbos. When I was a kid, I remember, I'd always walk into the bathroom, flick on the light. So we started to put scotch tape over the light before Shabbos, because I'd forget. So it was second nature. I wasn't even thinking. You walk into the bank, turn it on. And what's worse is, you walk in, turn it on, turn it off. Like, you turn it on, you say, no, it's Shabbos. You turn it right back off. They say, no, you turn it right back on. I've done that. Like, I remember as a kid. And then you kick yourself 3 times. You say, how did I do that? So a smart person doesn't say in the Torah you have to put a scotch tape over the switch, but help yourself. Distance yourself from the prohibitions. So a person has to figure out for himself. A guy once asked me, said, I see that there are certain things that I always fall on. Every time I try, I don't live up to them. So I said, so why don't you distance yourself? Take a step beforehand, ensure you don't come to that situation. And every person has to know in different times in life what that situation is for him. For example, I tell couples when they get engaged, they have to be more careful with the laws of Yichud. They can't take it to the line and say, well, legally this is permitted. They have to know themselves that they're in a situation which is more trying, it's more testing. There's attraction. A person knows that there's a chance that something will happen, more so than if he's with a total stranger in an elevator. So a person has to be more careful. So a person has to learn for himself in different times in life, in different situations. As a person grows, a person should know himself and know how to distance himself from things that will be problematic to him. Be it things that he will fall in because he won't overcome himself. Be it things that by mistake, like a drop of the meat falling into his thing with milk. Any questions? Okay, so at this pace we could allow ourselves to do 2 Mishnayot, if you guys don't have questions. Be patient. Be slow to come to a conclusion. Don't be quick. Don't be rash.
They said 3 things?
They said the following 3 things. No, they said, they gave the following 3 instructions were things that they said. What?
Save the Torah, the fencing around the Torah. And how much of fencing is a very general question? Is there a guideline given here, or I mean, is there a minimum that they set?
Like one of the fences is with like the prohibition to eat chicken with meat, right?
Okay, with milk, yeah.
That's like one of the fences, right?
So some of the fences, in general, this is understood to mean that this is what our sages instituted. That the Anshei Knes HaGdola gave over a tradition to the sages that would follow them, that you see the generation, you see what's necessary, and you decide which fences are necessary for that generation. So make institutions that fit your generation. But do make fences. That's part of your responsibility. Shimon HaTzadik. There was a man by the name of Shimon HaTzadik. There's Rabbi Shimon, there's Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, there's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. There's also an ancient sage named Shimon HaTzadik. We're continuing in chronological order. We had the men of the Great Assembly. That's the very beginning of the Second Temple. At that period, we have Ezra as the Kohen Gadol. And the Kohen Gadol who followed Ezra, the next high priest, was Shimon HaTzadik. He was Ayami Shirei Knesset HaGdolah. He was the leftover from the men of the Great Assembly. He was the last one around for them. He started being on the Great Assembly probably when he was young. So he was the last one alive. That's what one of his claims to fame were, that he was the leftover from the men of the Great Assembly. He was accustomed to saying, and whenever we encounter this throughout the Mishnayot, so-and-so used to say, they used to say many things. It means this is one of the sayings he was accustomed to say. Al shloshat dvarim ha'olam omed. The world stands on 3 things. Al Torah, on Torah. We must have Torah in order for the world to exist. Bal avodah, and on work, which could mean either simple work. People have to work and the world has to exist in order to exist. And the deeper understanding is that this is speaking about our service of God, meaning either the service that was done in the temple when it was erect, or our service in prayer. Ve'al gmilut chasadim, and I'm doing acts of kindness. The world is erect because we don't take one another to task on little things, but rather we try to be kind to one another. We are gomel chesed. We try to do beyond our call of duty. Chesed is to do more than you are obligated to do. So Shimon HaTzadik, who was from the remnants of the men of the Great Assembly, said there are 3 things that the world stands on them. Torah, service, which either means work, toil, labor, or the service of Hashem. That's what most Mefarshim say. It's the service of Hashem, meaning prayer or sacrifices. and gemilut chasadim, doing acts of kindness. These are the three pillars of the world. So the first Mishnah said, the men of the great assembly told us three things: be patient in coming to a call, to give a ruling, have many disciples, teach many students, and build fences around the Torah. And our Mishnah, Shimon HaTzadik, said there are three pillars, there are three foundations to the world: Torah, Avoda, Gmilus Chasodim, learning Torah, service of God, prayer, and doing acts of kindness. Yishkoach.
So Avoda.